now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo, and this is the Roland Trujillo Show. We could give it a lot of names, but I simply call it the Roland Trujillo Show. Now, what do I have here? I have something very special. It's basically religion for the common man. Common sense Christianity. I wish I had thought of that term myself. Somebody else did, so I can't really call my program that, but that's what it is, common sense Christianity. And I'm going to talk about Christianity in a way that will make it, that makes it make sense. You see, one of the problems today is that the problem with everything is that everything's been taken over. Everything has been taken over by those people. Or, yes, I guess you could say those people who misrepresent what the thing is really about. And so that makes it very difficult. So, for example, if Christianity is a very beautiful thing, the essence of Christianity is one person and their creator. You see, as I've often said, I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, and you've heard this many times also, and that is when a person is on their deathbed, see, everything that you had thought was everything that you had identified with and got caught up with and involved in and everything, it all pales in insignificance to nothing. You know, the gold watch that you got for putting in 40 years at a company, or the friends that you had, or the followers you had on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever you go, it's all nothing. Basically, they're all strangers. These are all strangers. And the books that you read and the items that you bought, it's all nothing. And those people who you called friends, well, what can they do for you? If they really are a friend, they still can't do anything for you. They can come visit you and pat you on the shoulder and say, you know, hang in there. There's nothing they can do for you. And the vast majority of the people that you know that you look at their blogs on the internet or Twitter back and forth or text message or whatever, they're not really friends. They're basically strangers. They can't do anything for you. Even if they wanted to, which they don't, they can't do anything for you. So you get little tastes of that in life. You get little tastes of it. For example, when you're a parent, and you know they call it the empty nest syndrome. When you become an empty nest, you walk around your house and it's empty. The children are gone, and it's empty. It's cold. It's dark. It's bleak. There's nothing there. Nothing. You see? Or when you go through old stuff, old CDs and old music tapes and old magazines, they're all dusty and they look antiquated, and you know, they're just nothing. And you ask yourself, what did I spend money on that for? It looks so dated and jaded, and you see what I mean? So the point that I'm getting at, ladies and gentlemen, is it's one person and their creator. It's basically what it's all about. And yes, what you might do for your husband or for your wife or for your children. Maybe you can do a little something for them while they're alive. While you're alive, you can set a good example. See? And enjoy them as God gave them to you. But that's about all. So I think I've made my point. Christianity is a very profound thing, but you're not going to find it in a book. You're not going to find it in an organization. You're not going to find it in music. You're not going to find it anywhere. You're not going to find it in printed words on a page. It's a relationship between a soul and its creator. I'll be right back.
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on streaming audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love, and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. What you're getting here is a touch of Christianity. Now, I spend most of my time telling you what it is not. See, because far too much is... There are far too many people, too many organizations, too many books, too many experts trying to tell you what it is. And you end up getting caught up with them and their ideas and their theories and their doctrine and their dogmas and their personalities. So I don't tell you what it is. I tell you what it's not. See, Christ said the kingdom of heaven is within. See, but we miss it because we're externalized. We humans are externalized. Why do we need a middle man? Why do we need someone with feet of clay? Someone with feet of clay to tell us. See, it said in the Bible, there's a beautiful passage where it said, "I will write my laws into their hearts, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people." It said they will need to be taught of no man, or you will need to be taught of no man, because I will write my laws into your hearts, and I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. And there was another passage I was listening the other day, listening to a little bit of scripture, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was, I think it was Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, but I'm not sure. But it was Paul was saying, you know, you have been taught of God that we're to love. You know, I don't have to tell you, he said, because you have been taught of God that you need to love each other. See, taught of God. How are we taught of God? How can you be taught of God? By reading a book. Well, I say that if you read a book, like the scripture, for example, the scripture is very beautiful, and I love to hear it, and I love to read a little of it. But it awakens me to what I know in my heart. See, it testifies. See, Christ once said to the Pharisees or Sadducees, I think it was the Pharisees, or the scribes, you know, the scribes were the people with the master's degrees and the PhDs, doctor this and reverend that, you know, of the time. And he said, you know, you search the scriptures, but the scriptures testify of me. See, well, so I read differently. See, I read differently than most people do. See, the way I read is the way we're supposed to read. See, I scan things. I scan things for clues. I'm always scanning. Everywhere I go, I scan. I somehow have the ability to stand back. I scan. You know, I can grab a book and page through it, and within 60 seconds, I find one thing, one clue. And that's all I need is that one clue. So it's the same thing when I read the scripture. I read the scripture and, you know, nothing clicks, nothing. And all of a sudden, there's something there. And I said, oh, I see, because I really see it. And it's so beautiful. See, and what it, the word on the page, the written word on the page, has awakened me to what I know in my heart. It awakened me to realize. See, and it's the realization that's the thing. It's the internal testimony that's the thing. See, I wish you could get that through your head. It's the internal testimony that's the thing. See, it's the wordless word. What you know in your heart, what you realize, what you see for yourself, that's the thing. That's why I've often told parents not to pressure their children, not to lay down rules and regulations and punish them and bribe them and everything else, but remind them. Speak to them as if they already knew what you were telling them. So, you know, the old thing, the old example, and I didn't think of this example either, but I use it because it's a good one. The old example is getting a child to brush his teeth. See? We must remind our child to brush their teeth. Now, of course, you can have a little, with little children, it's very helpful to have a routine. See, children love routine. So you have a little routine where they do the same thing every night, and part of the routine might be having to remind them once, twice, three times every night. Then they go, see, and brush their teeth. So you remind them. So how many times, remember Christ, they said, how many times should we forgive? One time, two time, three time? I forget what he said, but it was like, you know, I forget what he said, but it was something like, you know, 20 times, I forget what he said, 50 times 50 or whatever he said. In other words, he meant always, always forgive. Even if it's a zillion times. See, but of course, it's so much better if you didn't judge in the first place. If you didn't hate in the first place, then you wouldn't have to forgive in the second place. See, it's a kind of an active thing. You have a mindset of forgiveness. So you don't have to unforgive or drop a judge. See what I mean? But judgment, but you know what I mean. But the point is with the little kids, so you remind them 1,000 times, 10,000 times. You remind them 1,000 times. Until one day the child sees for himself the wisdom of brushing his teeth, you see? And when he sees for himself, then he owns it. It's very easy to threaten a child. It's easy to punish a child. It's easy to bribe a child. You know, motivate a child, challenge a child. You know, I just grit my teeth and, you know, when I hear people talk about challenging, you know, well, you know, challenging is another way for pressuring, motivating, manipulating. It's just so ridiculous. So the point is, with a child, you remind him or her 1,000 times, and in one day she sees the wisdom of brushing teeth for herself, and then she owns it. Are you with me? All right, so it takes a little longer, but then once she owns it, it's hers. So now I forgot what I was saying. Oh yes, yeah, so we see things for ourselves. So when I read, for example, the scripture, something there reminds me, see, it reminds me, or it awakens me to see for myself. So it's a very beautiful thing. So now, can you see now what happens though? You have people that want power, people that are control freaks, people that want money, people that want to be well thought of, people that want education so they can lord it over other people, see? And then they somehow are the ones that wheedle themselves into positions of power, see, in an organization. And before you know it, there they are lording it over you. Lording it over you with scripture or with their education or what have you. They're lording it over you. See, and if you fall for that, if you fall for it, and then you begin to look to them as if they were the authority, well, then you become beholden to them. You become enslaved to them. And for the rest of your life, you have to look to Mammon, someone with feet of clay, to tell you what, you see what I mean? Why can't you get it firsthand from God himself, from within, from your heart?
This is a special message for friends of the Common Sense broadcast who don't use email but who would like to communicate with us. I would like to personally invite you to write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. While you're at it, ask for a free copy of our newsletter or request a free brochure. Once again, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's RolandTrujillo, Box 82, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Have you been able to follow me? We're talking about Christianity. The basis of Christianity is a person and their soul. Now, here's the other thing. See, there are different times in a person's life. Now, when we're little kids, we have to first grow. First, we're of the earth, and later, of the spirit. So, as little kids, we must grow. We must play and discover and enjoy God's great green earth. You know, do a lot of things and have a lot of fun and discover many things and learn many things. That's what childhood is for. Not to have scripture, not to have whether it's Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or whether it's politically correct or green, save the earth or progressive, whatever ism or any kind of ism, conservatism, progressivism, this ism, that ism. See, we don't need to have that stuff forced upon us. Instead, we need to learn and grow. And yes, of course, so people will say, well, are you one of these permissive types then that lets the kids do whatever they want and write on the walls? No. See, a parent is supposed to be naturally thoughtful, naturally patient, naturally kind, naturally disciplined, naturally wise, and so on and so forth. The parent will set a good example. See? And the child seeing the good example will kind of see how things are. And the parent reminds the child and sets little limits and those sorts of things, you see? Example is a very powerful teacher. Very powerful teacher. See, but for the most part, kids discover for themselves. Then they make little boo-boos, and then you can say, "See, if you do that, you know, then this is what happens." See, when you watch TV, you're with the child, you're right there. So when people do bad things, you can say, "See, that's what happens. There's the people that do bad things." So everything is a learning experience. But you're there as the good parent, always there. You're kind of like in a sense, you're like an external conscience for the child, but not a browbeating one. Not a Bible-thumping one. See? Not a Mao's little red book-thumping one. Not any kind of a thumping one. Just a kind of there with little reminders and little admonishments and little teachings. Mostly you let the child learn for himself. See? And then we grow up, we make some boo-boos, we make a few mistakes, but... You know, not having been tempted to rebel. See, now that's the important. See, that's the other thing. What happens? See, when I was a kid, I'll never forget. We had a minister. I went to church. I grew up in an organized church. I'm not against organized church. I'm just saying that it must not replace what we know in our heart. See, we mustn't have an external relationship that replaces the internal one. See, the middleman on the outside, feet of clay, with the mammon, no matter how clever he may appear, no matter how nice he may appear, must not replace our inner relationship. Now, like I said, children, let's see, how can I say this? If the parent doesn't set a good example, then the child is tempted to disrespect. See, what is right, what is good, what is fair. Disrespect authority. Not have respect for it because the parent is not respectable. The parent's there smoking marijuana and gabbing on the phone and selfish and spoiled. But if the parent is rigid and, you know, trying to force things upon the child, it tempts the child to rebel. See, so either extreme is bad. Permissiveness is bad. Rigidity is bad. You must know the measure in all things. You have to get it just right. And how can you get it just right? By looking into your heart once again. Hello, this is Roland Trujillo, Director of the Center for Common Sense Counseling.
Most of us want to live our lives with calmness, patience, and understanding. I'd like to talk for a moment about how to deal with life's problems and about a new free offer we have for you. If you could learn to be calm in the moment of a stressful situation, it would not add any fuel to the fire. When the moment of stress arrives, you would influence the moment instead of the moment influencing you. The way to be prepared to meet life with calmness is through a proper meditation. This meditation is learning how to become still before the truth. Through this practice, you will download enough calmness and understanding to meet the day's vicissitudes. By practicing our meditation, you can gain the presence of mind to stand back and observe the moment, see what is needed, and respond with reason and patience instead of upset or resentment. The triumph of responding properly and the delight of gaining understanding about ourselves and others lead to a procession of joys. Defeat turns to victory and fear to a new zest for life. You can download a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at our website, www.commonsensecounseling.org. Why are you waiting? Download your free meditation at commonsensecounseling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about common sense Christianity here. Can you see how people who are not religious, quote-unquote not religious, may be more religious, maybe more Christian? Wasn't it Gandhi who said, well, you know what the Christians say, it sounds very nice, but he said, I don't think I've ever met a real Christian. You see? So I guess I could say the problem with most Christians is that they're not Christian enough. See, it's all external. It's all learning and book learning and study, and music, and rituals, and social things. Not that those aren't a part of life, but when it's all external and it doesn't have a heart in it, then there's something wrong with that. So that tempts people to rebel. Either they disrespect it. See, they say, well, look at those people. They're no better than anybody else. It tempts them to disrespect. Or, if they're forcing it upon people, then it tempts them to rebel. See? But what I was going to say is, kids have to first grow up, and then they get married, and then they have kids, and they have a family of their own, and then, after they've lived life to its fullest, I guess you could say, then at that point, and then sometimes comes a time of, now some people are thoughtful all the way along, they're very thoughtful, and they have questions, and they have a searching nature, and they live a moral life, live within boundaries. That doesn't mean they're perfect, they make some boo-boos, but then later, as they get to be 30, 40, 50 years old, then they start to question, and they begin to seek in earnest, see? They begin to seek in earnest. They've run and frolicked in the meadows, and they've hiked, and they've ridden bikes, and they've built things, and they've had children, and they've had a family, and they've started a business, and they've worked, and they've, see what I mean? They've done all these things, and they're all good. They've all been good, but now they're searching for a little more. Now they begin to search. Even Moses, see, although Moses was a nice man, it's pretty obvious from the story, he was a nice man, and he loved principle, but even he went out and became what, a sheep herder, got married and became a sheep herder, wasn't it, out in the desert for 40 years, see? So first, you're just a regular person. Maybe this will make it clear because I have such little time. A lot of people are ugly. Actually, they're beautiful swans. Remember the fairy tale of the ugly duckling? It was really a beautiful swan. A lot of people love truth, and they love it so much that they just despise phonies. They despise lies. They despise hypocrisy. But the problem is they become resentful. They become hateful. See? So they hate their mom, they hate their dad, they hate phony people, and then they become, then they hate themselves because they see how they're full of hate, and then they drink, and see how that happens. But some of those people, deep down inside, they're actually decent people inside. All they need to do is to give up their hate, keep searching, and find the answer. See? So First, see, maybe coming back to God again is to begin searching anew. And to become, to give up all the phoniness and just become a regular person. A regular person. A regular searching person.
Hello. Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating on problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at commonsensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a very good introduction to Common Sense Christianity. The testimony is within, an inner testimony. Is what I have said, does it strike a chord? Does it bring joy to you? Do you somehow, does your soul say yes? Kind of within, you know. Within you, something is quietly, silently, wordlessly saying yes to what I have said, because you kind of know in your heart, don't you? Sure you do. All right, well, that's the inner testimony. And this inner testimony is from God. All I am doing is I'm testifying on the outside to what you already know on the inside. My name is Roland. Until next time, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's ROLANDTRUJILLO. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.